graduation season here. Are you comfortable with telling everybody about that rental price?
Yeah, because I'm not doing it.
So are you having a party for the
kids?
Hell
yeah, we're having a party.
You got two grads.
Yeah.
Oh,
June, dads and grads, man. All June long.
Get the Peter and Company Jewelers in Avon Lake. Sorry, I had to do it. You live in Avon Lake.
We are, my son is friends with one of their sons.
There you go. It's where Owen gets engaged. Again, on his like eighth marriage. No, this one's the one that sticks. You guys are having the outdoor graduation party.
We are, yeah.
You just hoping it don't rain?
As long as it stops raining. It's supposed to rain for the next like 4 days.
We just got to go with the hope it doesn't rain then. Because you told me.
We're not until the first or second. I don't know. Next weekend.
Tell us.
2 weekends here.
So can you tell us the rental price of the tent?
I mean, I was looking around. I'm finding like $700 is about the good consensus.
Man, that's a lot of money.
You're getting features with it. It's a 20 by 20. You get so many tables and chairs with that. You don't just get a tent. They come set it up. They knock it down. They do all that work for you.
What a business.
Is that a good price? Is that actually, like, if you shop around?
I think it is.
Are the rental people going to?
Since I got out of the circus business, I have not known what tent prices were. But
there's a great documentary on Prime about the circus right now. It is very good. Very good. I remember my buddy worked for a tent and rental chair place. And they drive around. I don't know if any of them. 700, maybe that's a good price. I'm not sure. 20 tables and chairs, you're saying?
Oh, no, way more than that.
Okay.
It was a 20 by 20 tent. The other thing that they don't include in there, some of them, at least the ones we were looking at, the walls.
Okay.
Know,
yep.
Those are add-ons.
Windy day.
Well, my point.
Coming to play.
Our yard's not the greatest anyway for soggy conditions, and I figured if it's raining so much that we need to be undercover, we're probably not stomping around out there in the yard anyway.
Can you do probably driveway? Can you do driveway and garage?
I
can't.
I have trees. Like we have a canopy of trees over our driveway.
Did you have a graduation party?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Okay. Where did you do yours out of?
We had it at our place, which was a tough place to do it. And
off 306?
Yeah, we had a tent.
The trucks buzzing by.
Yeah, we had the gravel driveway.
Phantom 309 gave you a check.
It was literally kind of hanging over that, and somehow they anchored it down, and it was worked out. It was not the easiest logistical scenario.
Our neighbor kid, who I'm not going to say his name because his daddy's listening. I had this conversation. I was like, when's your graduation party? He says, I'm not having a graduation party. I says, what? He's like, I don't like big gatherings. I go, you like big gatherings when your parents go out to the boat and they don't know that you're home alone, and you don't know that they know that we know that you're doing things over there with all your friends over there shooting off bottle rockets and doing God knows what at 2 a.m, waking up the kids. Now all of a sudden you ain't into gatherings. You ain't into money. You get money at your graduation party. I forget what I got. We did ours at a Petros Park. I remember that was fun. Other than that, I don't remember much. Graduation parties are fun, man. I hope that they're having. So are you having a joint graduation party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two girls. I don't know if I had like the next group. We've got two more again, same time. Boy and a girl. We'll see what we're doing there.
Man, you should have them on back-to-back days like WrestleMania. Throwing that out there.
Well, Silverdome's open. So.
Yeah. Here you go. Shador Sanders. There is a lot of love that Shador is getting now in the media. And rightfully so. LeSean Shady McCoy, he was on the facility on Fox Sports 1, said, hey, he's a first-round talent, just taken in the fifth round.
We ain't never heard this before. Never. You know why? No, because you drafted a first-round quarterback in the fifth round. That's the truth of it. You try to teach him a lesson, now backfired. Because the third-round quarterback, we try to be respectful, but we know he's not better than Shador. We know what the team knows, the player knows. And we know that Shador is going to pass him real quick, but we got to do the steps. So let's just get Gabriel out the way, because we're not going to talk about him like we did before the draft. Number two is, what the hell a franchise say the fifth-round quarterback, the starter, and then a guy we traded for? That was a former first rounder. They gonna split Eagle reps as a starter? When have we ever heard of that?
Never heard of that.
And you know why? Because it's never been a situation like this where you want to prove a point to him, make the kid humble, and now you want him to play. That's what's gonna happen. Yeah. Because now you are in a room with quarterbacks that's not proven. Fifth round, third round, fifth round, fourth round, tight talent quarterbacks in the room. And the best one is going to win it out.
You know, he's got a very valid point there. As much as you want to disagree with someone, not you, but maybe someone wants to disagree with it, I think he's got a hell of a point there. He says that Shedeur Sanders is going to start sooner than later for this Browns football team.
I said it earlier before we even got to this point. Hey, I think Shador's going to start a little earlier. Now when the proof comes out, because I heard you saying coaches lie. What's what coaches don't do, though? Coaches are not going to waste their time to address the media and the whole entire team about lying about a fifth and third round draft pick. Because really, for real talk, they don't really matter in the NFL. Yeah. So knowing all that, they're not going to make that up. And now that we have the evidence that it's going to be an eagle, fair playing field with Shador Sanders and all the other guys in that room, the writing's on the wall, James.
See, I think that right now, audio courtesy of Fox Sports 1, his contract was signed yesterday. I think it's 4.5 or 4.6 over 4 years. He was due, or some people said he can make $6.5 million. He was making $6.5 million a year over in Colorado. And I'm thinking, boy, he could. I think Quinn Ewers is a bigger cautionary tale, to be frank with you. But he could be a cautionary tale for some quarterbacks to stay, collect NIL, even if they do this great big cap idea that they have with the CSC. Go listen to that, 92.3thefan.com, the emerging podcast scene. We try to make sense of Ross Dellinger's great post about what college football is trying to do to move away from the NCAA and skirt around antitrust laws for this. But either way, you're going to make a lot of money in college football. But if Shador really becomes as good as Shador as we hope and what a lot of people actually think, well, then that's not going to matter in the grand scheme. Do you think it matters now? Because, you know, Shady's saying third round, fifth round, a lot of third round, fifth round. Does it matter where Shador was drafted anymore to people? Does that matter anymore? Or do we have to look at it and go, there's no first round quarterback here? Can't find, Kenny was one years ago, but now he's...
Yeah, that doesn't matter
he's
anymore.
He's in career savior mode now. He's had to have humbled himself.
It did get, I will say... The fact that he was a first-round pick is probably the only reason Pickett has still got a chance. Like, had he been a fourth-round pick, is he on the Browns right now?
If who is?
If Kenny Pickett.
Oh, I don't think so.
So
no,
that's what I mean.
No.
So this is where I do think it matters for Shador, is the amount of opportunities he's going to get. Like, if he, as a fifth-round pick, is just not remotely ready to start the season for the Browns, I mean, this might be a one-and-done situation. I mean, he might not just have the opportunities that a first-round pick is always going to be afforded because of top-end talent. That's why guys are in the first round. They either have the measurables. They have a reason why they were in the first round almost always.
But if he's
very few exceptions.
But if he's remotely ready to play at all for the Browns, does he stay on the roster to start the season? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So is he, but the question is, because you have a wide open, I think for a lot of us, like we would probably, would the majority of the fans like to just start the season with Joe Flacco? I think some people are getting comfortable with the idea of Kenny Pickett because they think the Browns want to start Kenny Pickett.
I would have said that a month ago. I don't know if I'd say that today.
You think it's because of the Kenny Pickett talk maybe permeating throughout the fan base?
I don't know, because for me, Joe Flacco is like not on the team anymore. We interviewed him a few weeks ago, and now just since then, just the way it's talked about, maybe nothing's truly changed. But the way it's talked about, I've kind of in my mind thought they're going to try to trade him. They're going to try to move him.
They've got OTAs next week.
Yeah.
Is he at OTAs?
Yeah, I don't know how many reps.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be?
I don't.
Is he leading the first offense?
That's the thing. It seems like he doesn't need to either way, right?
Right.
He's not a part of a competition.
No, wait a minute. Give me... Boy, that's great. Okay. Joe Flacco, I still think a lot of fans would like him to start the season. I do think, though, that fans aren't stupid because there's a lot of people, the fan base will be upset. You got three young quarterbacks behind. I think it's changed. If it were Joe Flacco or Deshaun Watson, yeah, I think the fan base would be upset. Yes. But since it's Joe Flacco, then Kenny, which, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in, but we'll see. And then Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Hey, there's a lot to be excited about with young guys. Now they might go out there and fall flat on their face. What I'm only pointing out is there is no first round guy that we have to lie about or go through some sort of motions about. Like I read that Cam Ward and Will Levis are sharing reps right now in their mini camp OTAs. I'm going, okay, yeah, sure. Like we all know how that one's going to work out. But with this team, you have no first round pick, no second round pick. You have an older quarterback at 26, but still a younger guy who maybe you start the season with, not sure. And then you have Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. I think you need to take the labels off. Take the third round label off, take the fifth round label off, and go, all right, let's see how they lead. Let's see what they do with the players that they have. Let's see how they can get and earn the respect. Because before, you know, with who we just got done ranting and raving about, they tried to force leadership, respect, camaraderie with, and it didn't take. It just didn't take with this franchise. I think that I would look at this and say, how's his leadership? How's his relationship with his teammates? I think those are very important things. Because remember, if I'm Kevin, I'm controlling the offense. So there's not going to be any gung-ho just out there slinging it around. There's not going to be any of that. I'm going to be in total control of the offense no matter what of these three quarterbacks are there. Kenny needs to be taken care of, and certainly these two rookies are. So how does he react within the fan or within the franchise? How does he react within the offense? What does he do with the offense? What does he do in breaking down defenses? Who is the most ready to play? I think you need to take the label, a third and fifth round pick off of Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
That's, by the way, that's the first time even Dillon Gabriel's been mentioned in this segment, and it was not even brought up.
Say it on both.
He was not brought up in that clip at all. Does the exact same thing apply to Dillon Gabriel? I mean, only one of them can start.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dillon is the guy they made more of an investment on than Shedeur Sanders.
I think they need to go into this. And I've had it round and round with a couple of people. They go, Ken, is it even really a competition? They know they want to play Kenny Pickett, right? I go, no, as of right now, I do believe the Browns want to start the season with Kenny Pickett. I do believe that. As much as it might concern me, I think they want to start the season with Kenny Pickett. But I think that you need to have an open mind and say, hey, if one of these guys, they might not start the year, but these guys got to remove that whole rookie or that whole round five, round three thing. Because if one of them takes the bull by the horns and takes advantage of this situation, this opportunity, I have to be open-minded about this. Because they're going to do as I want them to do if they're running the offense the right way.
When you say the Browns want Kenny Pickett to start, do you mean Kevin Stefanski? Do you mean Andrew Berry? Do you mean Jimmy Haslam?
I think all three probably want Kenny Pickett to start. I think they all three want to have that because he's the guy who, in their own way, he becomes their, and I've said ironically, becomes their Baker Mayfield. But honestly, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, maybe they can take a crack at that. Or he holds down the fort in September, and then you let the young guys play. Because now you have two young guys instead of what we thought. We were like, okay, we'll get a rookie quarterback out of this draft somewhere, and then we'll see what that guy does later on. I didn't think we were going to get two rookie quarterbacks. So now you have two rookie quarterbacks. It is a golden opportunity. Take that fifth-round label off. Take that developmental label off and go grab it. Go grab it. Go prove it. Dillon Gabriel's supposed to be smart on the whiteboard and a really smart guy in breaking down defenses. Go prove it. I'd love to invest the future in you. Kenny Pickett's supposed to be looking for a new lease on life. Go get the job and hold on to the job. Make sure that they can't take it away from you. This is an opportunity for these guys. And I think that we are selling ourselves short and we're putting them in bad spots, or they're putting themselves in bad spots if they go, well, you know, I'm a fifth-round rookie. I do not want to hear that from Shedeur Sanders in the press conferences. I don't want to hear that from Dillon Gabriel. The only thing I want to hear is that they waited till the third round to draft me. They waited till the fifth round to draft me, and I'm going to show them different. I don't want to hear any of that waiting around stuff. You do not have time. You have this season to get it, whether you're going to be there or not, because they're going to take another rookie more than, like, as we sit right now, they're going to take another rookie next year. That's three rookies. And Kenny Pickett, that means one of these two that we're all excited about, whether it be Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, they're gone. They're gone. Maybe both. So you got to take advantage of the situation. Now, that fifth-round stuff, that third-round stuff, that is out the window. We have ruined quarterbacks before. I know we can ruin quarterbacks again, but they got to do their very best to make sure that they are not in that position to be ruined. That means that they have to make sure that they are together with this offense as soon as possible. If we're still looking at the labels of third- and fifth-round picks, then you're in a world of trouble with these two. Getting a lot of responses here. Porter O'Shea, this is great. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Ken, the Browns don't have a depth chart. It's a pitching rotation at QB. Who's the ace? He wrote Kenny, Flacco, Sanders, Gabriel, Watson. He's got Watson in there.
I kind of like that, the pitching rotation.
I'd rather have Eric Plunk. At quarterback for the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. All right, let me get to Ed in Bay Village, and then I got to ask you who I should be rooting for. Hello, Ed.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Not terrible. Oh, goodness. Congratulations on all your success. Yeah. I forgot I was taking a call from Bay Village. I apologize.
Except, Ed, we're dealing with the midges. They are out of control right now.
They are actually a sign of a healthy Lake Erie. So enjoy that
tone. Wow, okay. Take that tone. You don't know nothing.
Okay, like a healthy lake.
You're never going to be doing a podcast for the EPA.
Our midges are successful. That's how successful we are.
That's incredible. Yes. Well done.
So I'd like to look at this question about their perception and what round from a different perspective. If we go back to being in the first round, Browns make the trade. We're on the clock at the fifth pick, and it's announced that the Browns select Sanders. What are we saying today? Basically, I think you guys, us all, there'll be some people saying we overdrafted him a little bit, whatever, let's go. He's a good, you know, it's a good pick. There'll be a lot of positivity about it.
Yeah.
Some detractors. We're on the clock at five, right? And the Browns select Dillon Gabriel. What the hell are we all saying today?
I'd probably compare him to Mike Junkin. Wasn't he taking fifth overall? Something like that? I got to look that up. Go ahead.
It'd be a train wreck.
Yeah.
So Dillon Gabriel in the third round is looked as if he's overdrafted. Sanders in the fifth round is at questions of why he fell. I think Sanders is looked at a value pick, is definitely the leader in the clubhouse of those two. And just a matter of time before he goes in, and then you just let the chips fall where they may. I see Flacco starting a few games. I'd love that. I've said that earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, Pickett. I think you could dump Pickett, and probably end up with, you know, putting in what you got for him or what you gave up for him.
I think that's you and me. I think we're all trying to look at it and go, what do the Browns? I think we're trying to gauge what the Browns want. I mean, they did trade a fifth round pick for Kenny Pickett. There's something about, and fifth round picks aren't much. I know that, Ed, but there's something they like about him. There's something they like about the guy. They could have went out and gotten Taylor McKee.
They gave up a couple picks to go use a fifth round pick on Sanders. So about him. You know, I mean, I just think perception wise, Sanders is the leader in the clubhouse. And the way we would look at that, if he was taken in the first round, would be like he's a first round pick. With a first-round talent. Like, we would be justifying
I got to agree. I'll tell you,
thank you for the call.
You hit on something that I'm going to have to get past as a psychological barrier, because he's right. If they just simply took him at two or five or whatever, you know, I'd be nervous, but I would be a lot more excited, right? So the stigma of him dropping to the fifth, for some reason, I can't get it out of my head that I feel like all these other teams in the league, including the Browns, just don't think he's very good. And I got to get it out of my head because the Browns eventually took him.
Yeah, but there's also, let me tell you this. We are so used to getting defensive over our quarterbacks that we draft. This is totally different. I mean, you hear Shady McCoy speaking up for this guy. How many people have spoken up for Shador Sanders here
over
the last couple of weeks? If he were taking a number two overall, I'd be like, man, you guys overdrafted this guy.
Right.
And all the stories, the Giants and all that stuff be going, you guys sat there and drafted this guy after all this was said. It's like, no, they didn't. And now it becomes a redemption, prove them wrong type of thing instead of what we're used to. Gosh, you overdrafted this clown. What are you thinking? And I got to tell you, it's nice. It's nice. It's made me root for him even harder. Not from my usual, as Browns quarterback, I hope he does well. Yeah, I can say that about anybody. It's like, I really want him to do well. 216-474-0092, Demos and Shaker. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning. So, hi. Kenny, as soon as we drafted Sanders, my thought was like, oh, Kenny Pickett is just going to be trade bait because, you know, as long as Dillon and Sanders pan out like as if they're going to be pro quarterback someday, you let Flacco start, you see how the other two progress. But by then, Kenny Pickett, some other team is already going to be desperate for him. And the whole notion of like, I actually agree with Stefanski about third or fifth. Who cares at this point? Because if you look back in the history of the NFL, there have been players that have been drafted lower and done it. So who really cares at this point? If you feel you drafted them because you can bring those two along and both might be ready, having two young quarterbacks of slightly different styles here, I'm happy about the whole notion of being able to use Kenny Pickett as trade bait.
So you would be I think that it in with Kenny Pickett, didn't the afternoon guys bring this up on Monday? I think we kind of saddled into this by accident here, Demos. Thank you very much for the call. Something about if you could get more for Kenny Pickett, would you make that trade a la Joe Flacco? Which I'm like, both are like fifth, sixth, seventh round picks if you're making a trade. Both of those guys. Because you're turning right around and making a trade for a guy you just traded for who is on his third team in the NFL. And then there's Joe Flacco who's doing it for the love of the game and the paycheck and the $4 million. And hoping that maybe he can have some more fun here with the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that what it is? So I don't know what you're getting out of either one of those guys. I just would feel that they made the move for Kenny Pickett. I'm willing to bet that they are much more emotionally tied to Kenny Pickett and believing that he can be a good quarterback than what we want to think that they are. More on that coming up in a bit. Who should I be rooting for tonight? Should I be rooting for Indiana or should I be rooting for the Knicks? I'm a little bit torn here.
Boy, I've struggled with it. I think Indiana, I think they're a little more fun to watch.
Does Indiana going further make the Cavs look better?
Oof.
Or if you're a person that get ready to pull out the bowls here and fire up. Or if you're a person that wants moves being made by the Cavs, if Indiana goes out there and gets trounced, it's like, dude, you got beat by a fraud. You got beat down by a fraud. Maybe it's time we make some moves. If you're a person who wants to make moves, I hand it right there for you. I hand it right there.
Yeah, so the Pacers have been now to the Eastern Conference Finals twice in a row. They made that Siakam move a couple of years ago, and boom, two consecutive Eastern Conference Finals when nobody had Indiana in this position this late in the year. It's crazy. Remember, it was just a few years ago, the Cavs were considered the brightest up-and-coming team. I remember ESPN had a whole discussion about it, and everybody agreed. They're like, yes, it's the Cavs. The Cavs, it's their future. And then Pacers make one move, and they're ahead of us, even though we were better than them in the regular season. So that's the first part of this. The East, as we know, looking forward, looks to be very, very wide open. So does it make me feel better if the Pacers end up being really good and then look good in the NBA Finals? Probably a little bit. Probably a little bit because that series was there for us. I mean, you just get the ball inbounds, you box out or get a lane violation call, you win game two. They shot out of your you-know-whats in the first game. We never shot well the entire series. Can you imagine if we would have gotten anything normal out of a healthy Darius Garland? So all of a sudden, you're not that far away whatsoever. If the Pacers win this series and then look good, probably in defeat, but look good in the NBA Finals.
So it makes you look better as a basketball team.
Yeah, maybe it does a little bit. Still doesn't mean I'm just running it back no matter what.
Well, I mean, I still got people in my mentions wanting to run it back no matter what. And I think that maybe Indiana might be able to calm some people down. If Indiana went out there and played really well, if they got trounced, I think that some people would be like, we got to get Giannis because these guys are way too soft if the Pacers become too soft for the Knicks.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, the Pacers were never considered that tough of a basketball team. That's been a storyline that really emerged after they beat us. Going into that series, I did not hear any of the national talking heads say, how are the Cavs going to handle the Pacers and their brutality? No, you never heard that.
I thought we talked about it, though.
Not a ton. Like, we did say Mathurin was a instigator. But all of a sudden, Nesmith and Nembhard, Obi Toppin off the bench. You know, McConnell is a scrappy player, but I didn't think he'd outplay Garland and Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
Like, so I think we're jumping to some conclusions right now based on them winning that series.
Who are you rooting for?
Yeah, I said I'd probably root for the Pacers. And I do think they're more entertaining. Like, I watched last night. I didn't find that game to be all that entertaining, even when it was close. So the Pacers play an entertaining brand of basketball. They press full court. I mean, I haven't seen that since the old Rick Pitino Kentucky days. So that's fun to watch. You don't see that in the NBA at all.
They should slap the floor on defense.
Yeah, well, McConnell. I can see McConnell doing that.
Yes, you could. I know a lot of Knicks fans, but I also know that Knicks fans are Yankee fans. Are people are going to be watching this game? I think they will. Are they going to be watching this series? I think they will. I think there's an emotional tie to pull again. Man, do I got to really hope for the Pacers to win? They feel like the little guy. It's a smaller market, certainly. You know what? Can't believe I'm saying this. I guess I want the team that beat me to win. I guess I want the Pacers to win. I know a lot of Knicks fans, but I think that the other Knicks fans that I know, I think that that I don't know, I think they'll be insufferable, and I don't like them.
How about Halliburton at MSG? I mean, you saw he hits a game winner in our house, which changed the entire complexion of the series.
Yes.
He has a moment like that at MSG. What does that do to him? That propels him big time.
That's very true. Yeah, you know what? Let me get behind the Pacers. Why not?
Yeah, I don't think there
was... I don't know any Pacers fans.
Did anybody leave that series saying, the Pacers are so dirty that I can never root for them? No. I did not. I thought it was more a reflection of us.
That was more mad at us than them.
Even the DeAndre Hunter foul that did kind of end DeAndre Hunter's chances of being real formidable in the series, I didn't think it was that dirty. I think he met him at the top, and yeah, there was some contact underneath that I see all the time when guys go up for shots. I don't know. Am I wrong?
If they would have called it correctly, we wouldn't even talk about it.
Yes, they should have called it. There's no doubt they should have called it, and they got a chance to review it. It's unbelievable they didn't change it. But I didn't look at that and saying, Draymond Green, right, kicking and flailing, can't control himself. I didn't say any of that. I'm like, it's playoffs. Sucks. It really sucks that he timed it up perfectly at the top.
Did you grow any respect for the Pacers after that series?
A little bit. I did a little bit.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. I had some respect for him before, and I certainly respect him afterwards.
I respect Halliburton a lot more than I did before that series.
Really?
Yeah. I could see rooting for him, I guess. I'm not rooting, you know, whatever. Well, he wins, I go, yeah. Over Brunson.
I didn't personally. I had never saw the...
It's not like Brunson holds any grudges with, or I hold any grudges with him, but... His comparison to Donovan Mitchell, like, we're keeping Mitchell. He's going to be here two more seasons. I can't have Brunson winning a title.
You're right.
Or playing for a title.
It's got to be the Pacers.
And being the small guard that gets through.
It's got to be the Pacers. When you had that that one podcast talking about Donovan Mitchell being their sixth man on their team, I go, okay, you guys are too full of yourselves and need knocked down a peg or two. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the Pacers. You're right. You're right on that. If they don't see the field, it's their fault. Who? The rookies. If they don't see the field, it's their fault. Our boss asked us a question on Monday, just in passing. And I wrote it down. If you're 500 late in the season with Joe Flacco, are you wasting your rookies? You said yes.
Well, okay. There's a couple of different variations of this because you do want a winning culture to get established sooner rather than later. I think we all agree. The problem with 0-16 and 1-15, and you can go back and look at the Philadelphia 76ers and all their tanking, is they never really allowed them to build a winning culture. So they never went out and got players that were winning players that could change things in the locker room because they were so worried about having less lottery odds. And in the NFL, you have a totally different situation. But tanking in the NFL, you know, can be dangerous. Obviously, if you just get the right quarterback, that can change everything ASAP. We've seen that in Washington. We saw it in Houston. But in this case, I do think that the goal of this year, you know, should be now to see if either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders can be really good. I think that's your quickest way out of whatever you want to call it. A downturn.
And you are right for the long term. Because Flacco is 40 years old. But I think this goes right along with what I was saying just a couple of segments ago. I want them to get rid of the third and the fifth round label. That doesn't mean they're automatically firsts. That doesn't make them firsts. My issue is, if we talk, well, we got to see what we have in DTR. You said it yourself. We know what we have in DTR. And boy,
well,
did we ever.
We knew what we had
in DTR. But they weren't necessarily trying to win. It was, hey, if he goes out there and he plays well, probably won't. But if he does, great. But if he doesn't, hey, we're still going to get a higher draft pick because of that. That's the way they looked at that stuff. Okay, that's in the past. But I think now, you know, you have veterans that you have to answer to, and I don't want to sit there and just give away jobs. Because if I have to just give away them being a quarterback by the end of the season, if you're a 500 team, think about this for just a moment. Who has a more open quarterback competition than us right now? Can you say New Orleans? I don't think you can say New Orleans. I don't think you can say the Giants. I think ours is wide open in the NFL. Am I wrong? Think of a team. As soon as Aaron Rodgers signs in Pittsburgh, that's his job. So there's no quarterback competition there. I have a wide open, quote-unquote, competition. I think that's more of a wide open opportunity. prove to me that you deserve to lead this team. Because if Joe Flacco were 500 late in the season, we were getting closer to the playoffs. It's like, all right, you're one of those teams that are in the hunt. You can make the playoffs at just over 500. Probably be tough because it's the AFC. It's always been kind of tougher for us over the last few years to get in. Usually it's an NFC, one of those divisions suck up the room and somebody gets in just over 500 or even under 500. You might be on the cusp of making the playoffs. So you're either in or out. And there's plenty of people who say that this is a total waste of time. He's a 40-year-old guy. No, but I've already evaluated. That's what my two first-round picks are. Because if you can't become the starting quarterback on this team in this quarterback room, you're not an NFL starting quarterback. Am I wrong or am I right? I'm right. I know I'm right. Owen, am I wrong? If you can't turn yourself into a starter, that goes for Kenny Pickett too. If you can't turn yourself into the starting quarterback for this team, then I know what you are. Then you really are just a third-round forgotten quarterback or a fifth-round also ran. That's all you are. I'm giving you every opportunity to take this job as a rookie.
So if that's the case, if in this scenario it is Joe Flacco, they're vying all season long for a wild card spot, not going to win the division, but they do that and they just keep with Joe Flacco and he gets the entire year. What the hell are you doing in the draft next year if the quarterbacks look like, they're going 1-2-3. They're going 1-2-3, and you're sitting on the outside of all of that to begin with.
Do you believe that every team in that position will have to take a quarterback? I don't.
Yeah, so
I think there's usually a team in the top three
that can trade out.
And
you have ammo because you have the Jacksonville
pick. And I have the extra pick, and I don't know how great Jacksonville's going to be.
What if Jacksonville's the team? What if they're the bad team and you end up with their pick?
Are they going to go ahead and draft another quarterback considering they just signed Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you got their pick.
Okay. Well, so I can. Oh, that's right. So I can just use it. Yeah. There you go.
So, okay, that makes it easy. But I'm just saying, what are you doing? Like, what have we done to evaluate those guys? Because we can talk all we want about reps and rookie minicamp and OTAs, because it looks like Joe Flacco is probably going to move to the side and let these guys get all those picks, those reps. Preseason. Okay, we'll have preseason tape. But we know preseason is not. It's tough to get anything definitive oftentimes out of preseason. You just really need a real pass rush in the regular season.
When you say we're evaluating, are you giving them both equal opportunity to start a game? Because we went through this with DTR last year with that. We need to evaluate.
But I'm not giving them anything.
Pretty quick. I knew what I saw.
Owen, how are you doing that if you're 500? If you're 500, then you're going for the wild card spot.
If you're 500 in week 13, You're trying to get a wild card.
You're trying to win.
Yes,
absolutely.
We're in seven in heaven territory then, and we're talking about whether or not we can get in with the rest of the schedule.
That sounds like a recipe for a third coach of the year candidacy, if you ask me.
My God, he's going to be like one of those guys with the Emmys stacked up and behind. It's just coach of the year awards. That's a hell of a point. Let me get the D in Cleveland real quick. D, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? First off, I think the third and fifth round, like the labels where players is rated, that's more for fans and media. I don't think coaches care that much anymore because they just want to get you on the team. Second off, I think Shador needs to start flat out.
Why?
Because he already is the best prospect that we have. Kenny Pickett has small hands. Dillon Gabriel is too small. Joe Flacco was old. Shador comes with all of the hype. We cannot turn this into a Johnny Manziel.
You say he comes with all the hype, and then you turn right around and say we can't turn this into a Johnny Manziel. What are you saying, D?
Well, my thing with Johnny Manziel, why I bring this in, is because I felt like we should have just put him on the field day one, and if he got beat up and washed out, he washed out. You get rid of the problem. Shador, we got to find out what's going on with him.
No,
so put him on the field first.
No, God,
you keep
no.
Joe Flacco in the back pocket.
No. What if he's not ready? I'm just going to throw him out there if I know for a fact as a head coach he's not ready to help me win games?
If he's not ready, he's not ready. That's why we got other quarterbacks, Dillon and everybody else, falling back for him. He's going to be the most hype.
They don't just evaluate in games. They don't just that's not what they do. They evaluate in practice and camp. They evaluate in the offseason to see whether or not they think that guys can help them win games.
Wasn't Buffalo the first game for Johnny Manziel? And he was lying down on the ground.
Somebody did the Undertaker meme over him, yeah.
And he looked like he was not an NFL quarterback remotely.
If you're 500 late in the season with Joe Flacco, Or even, you know what? Kenny Pickett as well. Are you wasting your rookies?